High school was coming to a close for me. It was time to attempt to figure out where to go from there. We have all been there who have at least graduated high school. And one of the things I seriously considered was enlisting in the Army. I have multiple motivations for this, but one of my motivations was, it was kind of petty, but it was for the title, right? Soldier. I liked the sound of it. The title, soldier. Veteran. Titles appeal to us. I think they appeal to all of us, right? Soldier was a tag I could put with my name to make it more than destry, right? Make me something unique. Something more than just me. Titles. They elicit respect, admiration, interest, right? Like our jobs. Those are our titles, right? We have HVAC technicians, field engineers, mechanics, doctors, counselors, etc. But who are you? What are you called? Am I called an HVAC technician? I'll tell you who you are and what you're called. You're a child of God. First John chapter 3. I'd like you to turn there with me if you can. First John chapter 3. Okay, this is going to be like my core passage. Okay, we're going to come back to this multiple times. So if you got a marker in your Bible, I'd recommend putting it here. Rip a piece of paper, put it there. It's just going to make your life easier today. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." I'm going to go through this passage and talk about five things that I see in here that we get from being a child of God. Okay, we're going to look at what it means to be a child of God and how that affects us. Not just what it means, but what does it do to our worldview? Basically, the lens through which we see our life, our attitude. Okay, just like Aaron's fancy sunglasses to help with the migraines, I assume, right? You know, what color are you seeing right now, Aaron? Is it red? Looks red. Kind of greenish. Everything looks kind of greenish for Erin because of these glasses she's wearing. Well, shouldn't everything we see look kind of child of God-ish? Everything that we see, it's, I'm a child of God. This is how I view my life because of that. That's what I'm trying to get across through this. So, 1 John chapter 3. And the first thing I see here is John saying, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Is this literally a question he's asking? Like, okay, I'm going to need you to write back and tell me what manner of love this is. Or is it an exclamation? Just like we say, what on earth? Well, you see, Destry, on earth we have... No, it's just an exclamation we make. And it's like that's what he's doing here. He's just amazed that we have this kind of love from God. And a wonder, it's something we can't fathom. So number one thing that we get being a child of God is love without compare. Love without compare. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. It says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" No, I've never seen that happen. "Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." In other words, a nursing woman is going to forget where she put her child before God forgets about you. That's amazing, isn't it? What manner of love that we should be called children of God. And so this natural instinct that we have as humans to love our children is merely a shadow of how God feels about you. The unconditional love we have for our kids. Like, oh, well, that was the second time you've spilled your milk. You know, third time's the charm. I'm going to have to take you to South Dakota and drop you off if you spill it again. No, we don't treat our kids that way. Sometimes we joke about it, but we don't. It's just a shadow of how God feels about us. It's just something we inherited from Him whenever He made us. Have you thought about that way? Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are children of God. We have love without compare. Should that not comfort us in tough times? Should that not make us happy about life? I'm a child of God. What have I to worry about or fear? Number two is purpose. We have love without compare, and we have purpose as children of God. Verse 1 in the second part says, the world does not know Him, or does not know us, because it did not know Him. Where am I getting purpose from that? Here's where I'm getting it. We see the futility of the lives of people in this world. It's just so futile. And it's honestly depressing. I've been noticing this lately, because on Tuesdays I have class for HVAC training. And we are required by the state to be in class for 4 hours once a week until our 104 hours are up. So we got to be there for 4 hours, and it only takes us 2 to 3 hours to discuss the material. So we'll spend time just kind of chatting and talking about whatever to kill time, right? So I hear about these people and what they do for kicks and the complaints that they have about life. And there's just not enough money. And I'm always out till 10 o'clock at night on the side job so that I can pay for the toys that I want. And it's just futile, right? And I end up driving home depressed because I've been listening to this. And they almost have me convinced that this is the way life is. Right? Because here I am driving home like, man, life sucks. Listen to these guys. And then it hits me. I'm a child of God. I don't have to live like them. The world does not know us because they do not know Him. I don't have to live like that because I'm a child of God. And I have to spend my ride home, 45 minutes, reshaping my mind. Oh, yeah, okay, I got it. I can go to work tomorrow happy, not annoyed that, oh, it's the same old thing over and over, but happy because I am a child of God. That's what I'm getting from that. I don't have to try to make this world home. I can live with something to look forward to. These people have no fulfillment in their lives. But we don't have to live like that because we are children of God. And that brings me to the third thing that we get as children of God. Because of the love without compare and the purpose, we have excitement. As children of God. Excitement. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Is that not exciting? As children of God, it's like we're waiting for Dad to get home from work, right? When I was probably 6 or 7, I remember specifically. Dad was a lineman, and he would take his lunch every day to work. And then he'd come home. Yep, Brianna knows what I'm talking about. And he'd set his lunchbox down, and I'd run to the lunchbox, pop it open, and every day he would take a mason jar full of sweet tea. And I don't know what mason jars do to sweet tea, but man, that's good stuff. And somehow there'd always be a little bit left at the end of the day. So I'd pop the lunchbox open and just chug it. I was excited for that. You know, that's the memory I have as a kid of excited for Dad to get home. As children of God, is that not how we should feel? Excited for Dad to get home. He will be revealed, and we shall see him as he is. And we will be like him. Number four, spurring off of that, we have a role model as children of God. We have a role model. Like I read here, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him and see him as he is. And then verse 3 says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Just like Dad. Ephesians 5:1 says, beloved, be imitators of God as dear children. Just like a child imitates their parents, as a son imitates his father, so we as children of God should imitate our father. I remember dressing like Dad. When I was when I was 6 or 7, I remember specifically, this is the same age bracket, I hated tucking in my shirt and wearing a belt. I couldn't stand it. But I noticed every morning, Dad would tuck in his t-shirt, cinch up his belt, and he would wear flannel and roll up the sleeves. About to where I've got them rolled up right now. Every single day, I'd watch him do it. So I finally bit the bullet. All right, if I want to be a man, this is what I got to do. So I tucked in my shirt. I put on this nasty green belt that I had because it was the only one I had. Yep. And I put on a ball cap, too. That's what Dad would wear. John 13, verse 15. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples after he washes their feet. And the rabbis, the teachers, were the most important people in their society, right? They were the ones that you go to. They were the masters. But he was washing their feet like a slave. And he tells them, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Just like Dad. Be imitators of God as beloved children. So what is God like? What is our Father like? How should we imitate him as children? Just one thing that popped into my head was Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. You know, the scriptures are full of descriptions of God. You can turn to so many places and hear God himself proclaim who he is to his people, to his children. This is who I am. He's told us very explicitly his character. And he wants us to imitate it. So that's our responsibility, is to know our Father so that we can be like him, just as he is. And that brings me to the fifth thing. As children of God, we are pure. Everyone who has this hope in him, him is capitalized in my version. So I'm saying this hope in God. So everyone who has this hope in God, our Father, purifies himself. Just as he is pure. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. What is a child like? A baby. Innocent. Clean. I can remember the smell of a baby right now. I can remember it. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Then they brought the little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. Notice that. He was greatly displeased. And said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Isn't verse 16 what he's done for us? Taken us up in his arms and blessed us? Doesn't he treat us like his little children with love and compassion? And doesn't that make us pure? His sacrifice for us has cleaned us like a newborn child. If we do not be like a child, we will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. God has called us to be his children and to be pure, just like a child. So, this is what I've been thinking about the last couple weeks, is a child of God. And how can that affect us? What can that do for our daily lives and the way we see this world? What kind of glasses can we wear? We can see our life and say, "I'm a child of God. I am loved beyond compare." We can say, "I'm a child of God. I have purpose more than just the temporary, non-satisfactory fulfillment of this world." We can say, "I'm a child of God. I'm so excited to see my Father revealed." We can say, "I'm a child of God. I have a role model, and I want to study him and be just like him." We can say, "I'm a child of God. I've been made pure. He has taken me in his arms and blessed me." John chapter 1. Verses 10 through 13. This is John's introduction to his account of the story of the Son of God coming to this world. This is his introduction. "Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That's us. We've been given the right to become children of God. But understand that we have to accept him to become a child of God. And if you have not, please take that right to become child of God as we stand and sing.